First of all, apologies for any coughs. I've got hay fever. Not COVID, hay fever, promise. As we were worshipping today, I was reminded of a book that had a massive influence on me as a young Christian. And I just felt that the story was relevant and it'll lead into what I was going to say anyway. So I'm going to share that tale. You see, I loved Adrian Plasser's books. The sense of humour, which won't be everybody's taste, it was most definitely mine. And it got me through some very dark periods, did those books, because I'd sit there reading through the Sacred Diary trilogy especially, and they really did shape my image of God. One of the stories in there that I was reminded of today was of a church service that Adrian Plasser recounted going to. And normally, he measured the quality of a sermon by the number of wine gums he got through. Because if it was a good sermon, he'd tend to be paying attention. He wouldn't get through too many of them. But if it wasn't too gripping, then he'd get through the whole pack. Well, this one, he didn't even open the packet because they had a guest speaker. And the guest speaker, he made him feel quite warm and happy inside because all this guest speaker kept saying is God is nice and he likes me. And it just felt so strange. Actually felt good in church, was his comment. And this was quite a spontaneous speaker. He welcomed people to contribute. And eventually one guy stood up and said, but what about sin? And incredibly, the preacher grinned even more broadly. Oh, I'm a rat bag, he said happily. But you see, I do feel so very forgiven. And that tale, that just captured a relationship with God. Oh, I'm a rat bag, but I do feel so very forgiven. And I just felt like that was a word for someone today. It's also going to lead on very well into the sermon. I'd just like to pray now. Thank you, Lord God, that we are forgiven. And today I pray that you will give us a clearer image of you and a clearer image of the relationship we are welcomed into with you. I pray you will cement those truths a little bit more in our hearts and lives as they become ever more real to us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you do the devotionals, you'll know I've been gripped of late with the story of Joseph. I'd like you to turn, please, to Genesis chapter 50, and we'll look at verses 15 onwards. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father, he left these instructions before he died." He didn't really. There's no evidence he did. They were making this up. "This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When the message came to Joseph, he wept. His brothers then went and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. The relationship between Joseph and his brothers had never been a good one. And let's face it, that is an utter understatement. You were literally talking these brothers considering killing him at one point and then selling him as a slave to Egypt. When you're talking dysfunctional families, Yeah, this is your textbook example. And yet, somehow, God worked in the middle of Joseph's suffering, turned that suffering into something incredible. This man who had been sold as a slave wound up in a position of power and privilege, wealth and authority in Egypt. And when his brothers arrived in Egypt, desperate for food, to their surprise, when they eventually realized who he was, Joseph didn't lord it over them. Instead, he shared his power, his privilege, his wealth, his status with them. It's an incredible image of grace. And when I describe that story in such a broad brush, you can hopefully suddenly see the parallels there that really struck me this week. Because Jesus was the one who suffered. And yet, through his suffering, the sovereign hand of God placed him in a position of power and authority, status and privilege. It was our sins that held him there. We sing that truth. And yet, he doesn't lord it over us. Instead, just like Joseph with his brothers, he shares all that power, that authority, that status, that privilege with us. That's grace. It's stunning when you see it that way. He doesn't treat us the way our sins deserve. But here's the thing. As I looked at this passage, I suddenly put myself in the picture, in the place of Joseph's brothers. Because here's the thing about grace. Sometimes it feels too good to be true. Sometimes we get so caught up with our own flaws, our own foibles, our own insecurities. We remember all the things we've done wrong. And we come to God and, like Joseph, we feel like Joseph's brothers. We feel as though all that mercy and grace is just going to flip a switch and turn to anger and wrath. But it won't. Why do we think that? Why do we think of God that way? The answer, of course, is because we're still getting to know him. Those brothers, they were more aware of their own sins, the things they'd done in the past, their failures and faults, their flaws, than they were of Joseph's character. That's why Joseph's father didn't need to send that message, because he knew Joseph well enough to know the forgiveness was genuine and real. He knew there was no need. He could die in peace, confident that Joseph had nothing against the rest of the siblings. The brothers, though, they couldn't grasp that because they just hadn't got to know Joseph well enough. Joseph had forgiven them. There were no barriers between Joseph and the brothers on his side. But the brothers still held on to everything they'd done. And they couldn't imagine Joseph being so good that he had actually forgiven them, and that his mercy and grace would not turn to wrath. They couldn't conceive it. And I feel like today, the theme that's run through the worship, and it's the theme that I really wanted to pull out, is God just saying, I want you to know me more. I want you to know how good I am. My mercy, my grace, they will not turn to wrath. Your sins have been cast away from you as far as the east is from the west. Your shame is taken away. Your guilt is forgiven. There is nothing in my heart for you but love, love, love. There is no resentment. There is no irritation. I look at you and my eyes are filled with love. You are precious in my sight. I will not come to you in anger. I will not, because I love you. And I just feel like today God wants us to catch hold of that vision of him again. The story of Joseph here is quite beautiful, because look at how Joseph reacts to the brothers. First, he weeps. Why does he weep? Because he suddenly realizes that although he has forgiven them, they are still prisoners to their past, to their failures, to their sins and their faults. He suddenly realizes they have not been freed. His heart goes out to them. He realizes that although he has forgiven them, they are still struggling to receive that forgiveness. He's moved to tears of compassion. And then what does he do? He reassures them and speaks kindly to them. He doesn't turn to them and say, "Come on, we've had years together now. Don't you get it? Why don't you know me yet?" He doesn't react like that. Even this doesn't turn his mercy and grace into wrath and anger. No. He reassures them. He speaks kindly to them. He says, "I know you haven't got it yet. And that's okay. Look, I'm going to restate my promises. I'm going to restate that declaration I've made that I will bless you. The riches of my grace, I'm going to carry on pouring them out into your life. And I'm going to carry on and carry on and carry on until you get it. And if you never get it, I'm going to carry on all the same. Because I've got nothing between. There's nothing between us as far as I'm concerned," Joseph's saying. "And okay, you haven't grasped that, but that's fine. Let's keep going. Let's keep working at it." As I was preparing this sermon, I remembered a prayer that we sometimes hear and we sometimes use. And I suddenly realized, oh, that's almost a picture. Because there's a line that we say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." It's true. But I suddenly pictured myself coming before God with that prayer. "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And God saying, "I've already had mercy on you. My mercies are new every morning. They're poured out. You don't need to keep coming to me with those words, because my mercies are flowing to you. They're for you. And you know what?" Ooh, this really struck me. "Do you know God doesn't count you as a sinner anymore? He counts you as a saint. Yes, you still sin. But a sinner is not what you are anymore, and it's not what I am. Yes, I'm still a work in progress, and I still mess up, and I still sin. But I'm a saint who sins. I am a saint. Why? Because that's what he has made me. And the same is true for each one of us in this room today. And I just feel like today God wants to say, look, come to me as you are. Stop beating yourself up. Stop living in the past. I want to free you. And I realize that today is just going to be another step in that freedom. But I want to do it today. Because I've already forgiven you. I've already adopted you into my family. And I've already lavished my love on you. There is nothing, neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor demons, nor things in the past, nor things in the present, nor things to come. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. As I bring this sermon to an end, I'd like us to just take communion. And hopefully it wasn't too many wine gums in Lent. But I'd like us to take communion and reflect on the truth. God is nice and he likes us. He has forgiven us. He has called us, chosen us, lavished his love upon us. we'll bring the table forward and maybe have another worship song as we take communion. But I would just invite you to come before God and remember, as you take the bread and the cup, these are symbols of his love for you, reminding you that his love will never change.